Curtain Radio.
It's 20 minutes past 1 o'clock here at Curtain Radio, your afternoon program, and I am joined in the studio by none other than Mark Imasidis, who's Dr. Chemical. Hello, Mark.
G'day, Jason. Good to be.
I want to ask you a couple of questions before we let our listeners ask any questions.
Shoot.
I'm lucky because I'm sat here. I get to do that.
That's right. You can.
Now, CLR and Easy Off BAM and those sorts of cleaning chemicals that claim to be able to do everything, how is it that they don't also take off all my skin?
Well, it's very heavily regulated. Anything that goes into a can on the shelves in Australia has got to get a license from a mob called the APVMA. So it's got to meet all the guidelines in terms of safety, in terms of warnings on the label, in terms of instructions and the whole bit. So these companies can't just put anything that they want in there.
Right.
They've got to do it according to the regulations. And in Australia, it is very heavily regulated.
Okay. So they could be stronger.
Well, in Southeast Asia, because I used to work for Reckitt and Coleman, in Southeast Asia, Mortein make a product called Mortein Max.
Right.
And the marketing claim on the can, you never get away with this in Australia.
Yeah.
The marketing claim on the can is this product contains the maximum legally allowable level of insecticides.
Right.
Now, in Australia, they're kind of embarrassed by the chemicals in there.
Yeah.
So it's in tiny fine print on the can of fly spray.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're kind of apologetic that, yes, there are chemicals in there because people are a bit scared of them.
So it's kind of the complete opposite of homeopathic stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And in Southeast Asia, you cannot sell a fly spray that smells nice.
No.
You see, all the fly sprays here have got nice pine or menthol or citrus fragrances because people like the pleasant smell when they spray it.
Mm.
In Southeast Asia, the mentality is, well, how can something that smells so nice hurt the flies?
Yeah.
So it's got to smell like Kero.
Okay.
So you spray it in the air, it just smells like Kero. It's incredible.
It's for the best, yeah. Well, I tell you what we'll do. Before we go to our callers, I understand that when I don't have access to you, I will at least have access to your book.
That's right. My book is with the publishers at the moment. Now, last time I was here, I put out a public call for a title because I couldn't come up with a title. Elsie has made a very good suggestion.
All right.
She came up with Unstain Your Life.
Unstain Your Life.
Now, I thought about it and I thought, well, Preen was the great unstainer. That was its shtick. That was its marketing slogan, the great unstainer. So I've changed it a bit. It's going to be called Unstain Your World.
I like that.
So it's
succinct.
It's succinct,
beautiful.
It's catchy, and it's informative.
When's it coming out?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't have a timetable yet.
All right, but you'll let us know, obviously, as soon as it does. All right, fantastic. Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. Andrew from High Wycombe joins us. G'day, Andrew.
G'day. How are you?
Good, good, good. Hey, Andrew. Mark's listening.
Okay, Dr. Chemical, got a question for you. We've got a lovely white rug carpet, and our lovely dog has decided to use it as a urinal.
Yep.
And that's obviously some months ago, unfortunately, and we've only just sort of noticed it. What can we do?
Okay, the best carpet cleaner on the market is Preen Vanish Carpet Foam. Now, there's a powder and there's a foam, but the foam is the better product of the two. So you follow the instructions on the can, and that will get most things out.
Right. Do I need to work it in, or?
I believe you do, yeah. So you spray it in, you work it in, and then I think you just brush it away. But the instructions are on the can. It's a very good product.
There you go, Andrew. I hope that helps. What's in urine that might actually stain?
It's amines.
Right.
And that's what provides the smell. So bad smells fall into three categories.
Mm.
There's volatile fatty acids. They're your rancid smell. So that's your rotting milk and stuff. There's your amines. They're your kind of astringent smells like urine. And then there's the mercaptans, which are your sulfurous smells.
Right.
And the mercaptans are by far the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're much stronger.
Mm.
The first two categories are fairly easy to remove.
Mm.
But it's the amines in urea.
So,
now, one alternative is an acid of some sort.
Mm.
If you use, say, Ajax spray and wipe, that contains lactic acid, that will neutralise the amines.
Ah.
It'll take the smell away, but it won't take away the actual mark. That's where you need the carpet foam.
So how do these tiny little bottles of nil odour work? What's in them?
Well, it's a very good technology in those. Smells are a cocktail of things. So any particular smell, there's hundreds of chemicals in it.
Mm.
And the way that Neil Oda works is it targets the same receptors in your nose with different chemicals.
So it doesn't actually get rid of the smell. It just blocks you from being able to smell it.
Correct.
That's tricky.
It's very clever.
Oh, you chemical guys. Yeah. Let's go to Helenbrook now. It's Roma. Hello.
Oh, hello. Yes, I have a problem with my grandson's cricket pants and the red cricket ball stains.
Okay, best stuff for that is acetone.
Acetone?
Yeah, so you get it from the hardware store, put some in a jug of some sort, and then you just isolate the part of the pants with the red stain on it and just dip it in and out, in and out, in and out, and that'll get it out pretty quickly.
Wow.
Oh, do I have to dilute it at all?
No, just use it neat.
Use it neat?
Yeah, so just put it in some sort of glass vessel, not a plastic vessel, because acetone does attack some plastics.
Mm.
So just a glass jug or container of some sort, or just a glass Tupperware type container, and just put the acetone in there and just dip the red in, and you'll see it start to dissolve immediately.
Would it have any issues if, like, there's nylon in the pants or anything like that?
Oh, okay. No.
There we go.
No. Acetone attacks acrylics, but not nylons.
Well, there we go. Yep. Roma, thanks very much for the call. Let's go to Cardinia now. It's Nancy. Good afternoon.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well, and Mark's looking fabulous.
Oh, that's great. I can't see you, but still. you know how you were saying, this is not the question, though, about not affecting your fingers?
Mm.
When I use the orange oil to get sticky off some wood, it took all the skin off my fingers.
Oh, is that right?
Oh.
Yeah, you know that orange. You know that orange oil that you get? It's fantastic. It took all the...
Yep.
Sticky tape marks off the windowsill, because that's what it was, a wooden windowsill.
Yep.
And it had masking tape on it. So I rubbed this on and it was fabulous, but then all the skin started to come off. But anyway.
That's a remarkable product. It contains a chemical called D-limonene, which is a naturally occurring chemical in the peels of citrus, hence the term orange oil.
Mm.
Right.
And it's a remarkably good cleaning product, as you say, but also it will attack the fats in your skin.
Oh.
And I think that's what's happening.
Well, for any criminals listening today who want to change their fingerprints, that's the stuff.
Oh, there's better stuff than that.
My question is, I put some bleach on a new stainless steel sink.
Yep.
And the old stainless steel sinks, it never affected, but the new ones are not as good. And so it's left marks. And I've used stainless steel cleaner on it, but that didn't take off the... It just looks like dirty water marks on the sink.
Yep. Look, the best stainless steel polisher and the best metal polisher for anything is Brasso.
Right.
Now, people think Brasso is one of those products that does a lot more than it says that it can do. And there's some products on the market, and Brasso is an excellent example of it. The marketing claims on the tin don't tell the full story.
Huh.
It does a lot more than it says it can do. It is just the right level of grit to be an excellent metal polisher for any metal.
So it does have abrasive in it?
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, there's some tiny, fine bits of abrasive in there, and it's an excellent stainless steel polisher.
Wow.
So, and I've used it myself to get overspray various things off stainless steel, so... That's your best option there.
Thank you so much and have a great day.
No worries.
Good on you, Nancy. Thanks very much for that. Gee, I tell you what, some of these chemicals that you do see up on the shelves, though, that do make a lot of very outrageous claims. I mean, there's a commercial on TV at the moment that shows them holding up a jug to a shower head, and it sort of instantly dissolves all of the what's on there, the calcium, I guess, or whatever else. Do they really work that quickly, or is that just kind of for marketing purposes?
Well, some of them do, but in that case, it would have been, let's say, new encrustation. So it wouldn't be old stuff.
Right.
Because old stuff would not dissolve quite so readily.
You wouldn't have thought.
No. Yeah. But they get away with some clever marketing claims. There's a brand called 30 Second. So 30 Second driveway cleaner, 30 Second oven cleaner. And you would think that what it means is that it works in 30 seconds.
Yes.
But it doesn't.
Right.
That's just the brand name. You see?
You chemical guys.
Don't blame us. Blame the marketing
people. The marketing guys.
Someone has thought, we'll use that as the brand name.
Yeah.
It's not a marketing claim.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to work in 30 seconds.
It's like that, I can't believe it's not butter.
Yeah.
Butter.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Go. We've got a question from Mark. A question for Mark, I should say. What do you recommend to remove engine oil from a driveway?
Okay, well, you can't get it all out because oil, because cement is porous. So it's all going to soak.
So pour oil over the rest of the driveway.
Well, the best product is any alkaline degreaser.
Right.
So go into any automotive place or a hardware store, go into the cleaning aisle and look for the phrase, and look for the term alkaline degreaser on the label somewhere. Bunnings sell a product called Kenco, K-E-N-C-O.
K-E-N-C-O, yes.
Kenco, it's in the tool shop. Mm. I think it's $15 for a 5-litre drum.
Right.
That'll work as good as anything.
Okay.
So just...
And does it require scrubbing or apply and spray off?
Just apply and hose off.
Oh, okay.
But having said that, the longer you leave it, the better.
Mm.
Up until about, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Let it soak in, hose off, repeat once or twice. It'll turn black stains into light grey stains.
Right.
So I won't remove it all because, as I said, cement is porous.
And I'm going to add some advice here. I'm not a chemist, right? I'm just a silly old presenter. I made the mistake of thinking that a high pressure cleaner would sort my driveway out, and all I ended up doing was taking all the paint off it. It's got to be repainted now.
Well, yes. Now, high pressure cleaning, it's a question of getting the right pressure.
Yeah.
Because the optimum pressure is about 3,000 PSI.
Whew.
So most of the domestic ones are around 2 to 3,000 PSI. Below 2,000 PSI, you're kind of wasting your time and it won't do much.
Yeah.
2 to 3,000 PSI is the optimum range. Once you get over that, then you start getting into where it'll damage things.
Drilling holes.
It can take paint off, depending on what sort of paint it is and the surface. When you get up to 4,000 PSI, it's poking holes in mortar. 4,500 PSI, it's poking holes in bricks. So
we don't want to do that, really, really not. Ron from Corrine, hello.
Hello, Mark, and hello, Jason. Thanks for this opportunity. I just have a little bit of paint, acrylic paint, that's gone onto the brickwork when I was painting some timber. Not a lot.
Yep.
But I went over the masking tape, but I thought since you're on the radio, I might just ask you if there's a neat way of taking that off.
Acetone will do it.
Acetone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it gets acrylic paint off pretty quickly. So just put if it's on a horizontal surface, just soak a rag in it and sit it on there for 10 minutes, and it should just all brush away.
It's on a vertical surface, so what would it do?
Oh, just spray it on and rub. You'll see it'll react pretty quickly.
Okay, so if I just tried a thing for your ears, you know, like a cotton bud.
Yep.
If I just put some on that and just tried that on the edge of it, I'd see how it's going.
That's right, you would, yeah.
Yeah, okay, and I've got some acetone, so, okay, all right, thanks.
Good on you, Ron. Thanks for the call.
Alternative is going to Bunnings and going to the paint stripper section. There's a product, I forget the name of it, but it's in a yellow and black tin. The active ingredient is dichloromethane. And which is kind of a bit like chloroform.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been a paint stripper for years. And I think it's a gel.
Mm.
And so you can sort of paint the gel on, and the gel kind of holds the chemical in place. And that will also work.
Bit of a good tip there anyway is you've mentioned acetone a few times today. Yep. Probably a good idea just to go and get some and actually have it in the cupboard ready to go.
It's a very useful solvent. The only one that I'd say is more useful is isopropanol.
That's rubbing alcohol.
Yes,
right.
But rubbing alcohol from the chemist, it's only 65% isopropanol, so it's not as good. Go into an electronics store like JCar, and they sell it as isopropyl alcohol as an electronics cleaner. And
right.
you can use it on any surface.
Yeah.
You can use it on any vertical surface. You can use it on your skin as rubbing alcohol, or you can use it on any electronic device. So use it to clean the keyboards on your computer or your mobile phone. It won't hurt anything.
You heard it here first, folks.
Very versatile cleaner.
There we go. David in Belmont, hello.
Hello. Can I speak to Dr.?
Yes, David, he's listening.
Go ahead, David.
Good. Listen, Doc, I've got a cat next door that keeps peeing on my front door. And I've tried everything to try and stop him other than knocking him on the head.
Knock.
and, a, And I don't want to do that because I like animals.
Good.
So what can I do to deter this little character?
Look, I get asked this question an awful lot. It's cat urine is probably your number one question on my website. And there's a product that is made by a mob called Simple Green. I think it's sold in Bunnings. So go into Bunnings and have a look. If it's not there, the next best option is vinegar. Because vinegar will chemically neutralise the urea in the urine, and that should deter them from a smell point of view.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that, because I tried all sorts of stuff, and he keeps visiting my front door, and I left the door open the other day, and he peed on my carpet.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, David, if the solution works for you, or doesn't work for you, either way, give us a call next time Mark's on, and we'll see if we can come up with something else.
Yep.
Ah, you gentlemen.
Good on you. David from Belmont there. Wow. Okay. Got a tomcat around the place.
Hmm. Yeah, cats have incredible sense of smell. I guess like dogs. You know,
they do have that stuff you can get. It's like a gel that supposedly deters cats and dogs from your area. Is that sort of stuff worth it?
They do work, but they aren't as commercially available in Australia as I've seen.
Uh-huh.
Simple Green market product that does that, but I'm not sure if it's actually for sale in Australia.
Gotcha. Off to Chidlow now, and Jennifer joins us. Hello, Jennifer.
Good afternoon. I have a pink rose-coloured suede jacket, and it has a blue biro mark on it. I took it to the dry cleaners, and they weren't prepared to attack it. What can I do with it?
Right. Trouble with suede is it's very hard to use any water-based product because it leaves a watermark. Your best option is isopropanol that I was saying to you before. So go to JK Electronics or any electronics store. It's sold in a aerosol spray can as isopropyl alcohol.
Okay.
Now, you've got to be careful spraying it on the jacket or you might make it spread. So spray some on a bit of rag and just blot it.
Mm-hmm.
And keep doing that, and you should see it start to come off. It won't come off immediately, but if you keep spraying, keep blotting, you know, and go to a new part of the cloth when that starts to get blue with the ink, keep blotting, and it will eventually all come off.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
That's there you go.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for your help.
Thanks for the call, Jennifer. Look, it's suede. It just happens to be one of those expensive things that we love, but it's a problem when it gets marked.
It is the single most difficult surface to clean because it just any water-based product will leave a watermark.
Mm.
And that's of course, a stain in itself.
Yeah, of course. All right, let's make our way from Chidlow to Chewett Hill. Hello, Sue.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, Sue.
We're well.
That's good. I just have a question. My daughter has a very, very, very dirty oven. What's the best way to clean the oven? You know, it's black. The oven door is black. She's not very good at domestic work.
Yeah, look, any of the off-the-shelf products will work well. I like using Easy Off. It's a fine mist. And the way oven cleaners work, they essentially, well, in fact, they are caustic soda. So you're just spraying caustic soda onto the fat. It reacts with the fat by a process called saponification, which literally turns the fat into soap. And that's how you can wipe it out.
Right.
That's how they used to make soap. You know, you use caustic soda and vegetable oil or fat would make soap. So
right.
You spray it on and wait 10 or 15 minutes and then just wipe away. Now, if you're concerned by the fumes because it is a bit fumey, you can get it in a non-caustic form.
Okay.
And the non-caustic form, in my experience, works just as well.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Sue.
I might have to give it a couple of goes, but thank you. I'll give it a go.
So with the Easy Off, the caustic form is in a red tin.
Mm.
The non-caustic form, I think it's in a purple-coloured tin.
There we go. Yep. Annie in White Gum Valley. Hello.
Yes, hi there.
Hello, Annie.
I'm really going left field here.
Oh, we go. I love left field questions.
Excellent. I have a toilet that occasionally does not flush down the number twos.
Oh.
Right.
Okay, I've had plumbers out. They've put cameras down the pipe. They've put in a vent to let more air in. I'm in a rental, unfortunately, so I can't do anything myself. But it only just happens occasionally. So I'm having to put I put nappy sand down there to break it down and other stuff, but it just happens occasionally. I'm just wondering if the actual toilet bowl itself has lost some of the paint or shininess. It's pretty old. It hasn't got dual flush, but it's quite embarrassing. I've got to keep having bubbles in my toilet so that people can't see what's actually at the bottom of it.
Yeah, look, the best way to break up biomass in general is caustic soda. So you can buy caustic soda from Bunnings. I think it's about $16 for 2 kilos. But that's actually fairly expensive because it is actually quite a cheap chemical. Go to a mob called Tasman Chemicals in Wangarra, and you might be able to buy it in larger size drums. And you just tip caustic soda flakes down there and just let it sit for 10 minutes or so. That'll do two things. It'll react with the biomass and help break it up, but also it'll add heat. So it'll actually make the water hot, which, of course, will also help break it up. So your best bet is caustic soda.
Caustic soda, okay. Have you ever heard of this situation before? I mean,
yes. You know. I have, yeah. Yeah.
Because I was thinking, you know, that maybe I could get a new dual flush toilet out of it sort of thing.
Well, yeah, you could try that because it is literally a case of not enough water.
Yeah.
But if you can't go down that option, then breaking it up chemically is the only option that you've got left.
Annie, thanks very much for the call. Curtain Radio. It's your afternoon show here on Curtain Radio. Jason Jordan with you. Jenny Seaton's away getting her eyes looked at the moment, but she'll be back on Monday. You've got me for Thursday and Friday. But today, I've got Dr. Chemical in the studio with me, and we're talking about all things chemical and a bit physics as well. We're talking about using pressure cleaners earlier on.
That's right, we were.
9484 1927. If you've got any questions that you'd like to ask of Dr. Chemical, Don has a question. He's in Secret Harbour. G'day, Don.
G'day, Don.
Hello, Jason and Jordan. My name's Donna.
Donna. I'm sorry, Donna. It fell off the screen.
Yep.
That's okay. I have two questions. My partner has got a cat, and I had a long dress on one day, and the cat decided to spray on my dress at the bottom, and it has a big yellow stain, and I can't get it out. Do you know what I can use to get that stain out?
Best product is White King Stain Lift Laundry Pre-Wash. Right. It's in a blue. It's in a blue trinket pack, so you get it from the supermarket. White King Stain Lift. It's in the laundry pre-wash section. It uses enzymes, and enzymes are what you want for any natural stain like urine.
Right, okay. And the other thing is my splashback. I was using vinegar, but I don't know whether they've changed the content in it, but it seems to have some sort of oil or something, and it's just making smudges.
So this is splash. So is this in your kitchen?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Use sugar soap. Sugar soap is an oldie bit of goodie. It's been around for years. Any of the sort of cheapy shops or supermarkets. You can buy sugar soap in trigger packs. Several brands make it.
But what actually is it? It's not sugar and soap, is it?
No, it's called sugar soap because it is because in its solid form it's gritty like sugar. It's actually washing soda plus detergent.
Uh-huh.
Now, washing soda is sodium carbonate, which is a very good general purpose cleaner.
Mm.
So all it is sodium carbonate or washing soda plus some detergent.
Well, there we go.
And it's an excellent cleaner for this kind of situation.
Sugar soap. Donna, there's your answer. We do have to move on. Jan of Woodlands joins us now. Hello, Jan.
Yeah, hi. I've got a problem with the washing machine. The front loader, the rubber ring around it has got a very black mark, sort of slimy mark, that I've tried everything and it won't come off.
Right. This is another job for sugar soap. Because what you've got there is an alkaline-based mark.
Yeah.
You know, or it may be the rubber is starting to deteriorate.
Mm.
But sugar soap will get it off as good as anything. So spray it on, just wipe it off with a rag.
Okay, it's just where the water lies after I've had a wash. And I obviously haven't cleaned it up very well. The water lies there and it's just created this black.
Yeah, so give that a go. If it doesn't work, try oven cleaner, which will do the same thing. Oven cleaner is just a stronger version of the same thing. They're both alkaline cleaners.
What you were saying about products doing more than what they say
on the
label. There we go.
Oven cleaner is an excellent hard surface cleaner.
Oh.
You can get finger stains off light switches.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Or general grime. If you've got grime on the armrest in your car from where your arm sits against it, oven cleaner will get that off.
Oven cleaner.
It's brilliant, yeah.
Put it in the cupboard along with your acetone. Let's go to Mandurah now. It's Sandra. Hello.
Hi. I have a child, I suppose it would be rubber toy. It's quite a large one that's been given to us. And it's, I don't know whether it's been left outside or whatever, but it was really, really dirty. And I've scrubbed it with Jif and gumption and steel wool, but the stain still seems to be there and it's sticky now.
Hmm. Okay. Well, so it's just dirt and stuff that has picked up, is it?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
And probably because it's been outside in the sun, you know, it tends to have, gotten into it more or whatever.
Yeah. Well, sugar soap is your best bet there because it's an alkaline cleaner. Now, this may be a case where you want to use the powder because you can get sugar soap as a liquid or as a powder and use it as a paste. That'll have a more potent effect than what the liquid will.
All right. Well, Sandra, I hope that sorts it out for you. We've only got a couple of minutes left, so we're going to try and squeeze as many calls as we can in. Andrew from Gidgeganup, go for it.
The squeeze, if it's appropriate. I was just ringing up that caller a few calls ago. It might be something not as complicated as all that, and it, a little brown overstaying visitors. It could just be because someone's thrown a brick in the system to save water.
Uh-huh.
So if she lifts the cistern lid and has a look, quite often people do that to save water, and it's just not enough water to send it away.
Yeah,
that's a very good tip. Nice one, Andrew.
Didn't think of that.
That's really good.
And also, the cat thing, I'm just wondering if the cat with high pneumonia, is there something that you could maybe chip in a bit of kitty litter to give it a bit of a scare so it never comes back again? You know, like something reactive, like...
Well, the reason why I suggest vinegar is because vinegar is an acid and ammonia is alkaline. So the acid will actually neutralise the smell.
Mm.
If you take ammonia and add hydrochloric acid to it, the smell disappears.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Wow, it's just magic.
Yep.
Andrew, thanks very much for that tip. That's a really good one. Check that there's not a brick in the cistern.
Yep.
All right. Chris in Netherlands. Hello. Hello, Chris.
Oh, hello.
Go ahead.
I have another toilet question. Down at the bottom of the bowl, I can never get it totally clean. So even if I drain all the water out and rub it with Ajax or fill it with CLC, it just always looks as if my toilet's not clean.
Mm.
Yeah, some things you cannot remove chemically. You could try some hydrochloric acid. It won't damage the toilet. Tip some hydrochloric acid in.
Use gloves.
Yep, and... let it soak for a while and try flushing it. That may shift it.
Okay. It almost feels as if the surface is rough, as if, you know, the porcelain's come off or something.
That does happen. If the acid doesn't shift it, then the next step is wet and dry. So I just get some wet and dry abrasive paper from the hardware store and just rub it with that.
If the glaze itself has been affected on the ceramic.
Yeah.
All right, we're off to Mandurah, and I think this might be our last call. Hello, Alan.
Hi. I've just got a question about my rims on my car.
Yeah.
I've got aluminium alloy rims. How do I get them back to a nice shiny aluminium again?
All right. Get some oven cleaner, spray it on there, leave it a couple of minutes, and then squirt it with a high-pressure cleaner. You'll be amazed how well it works. The oven cleaner gets all the brake dust off and all the general grime.
It reminds me of that guy on Kingswood Country who used to polish the inside of
exactly.
his hubcaps.
That's right.
There we go.
And then to finish it off, if you're serious about it, use some Brasso. That's the best metal polish.
Oven cleaner and then Brasso.
That's right. Yeah,
oh, we're done. Oh, we can squeeze one more in. Let's go to Port Kennedy. Hi, Darren.
Hey, how you going?
Good, mate. Go ahead.
Yeah, just as a person that works in a major chemical factory, I just wanted to reiterate the fact with Dr. Chemical and to your listeners how dangerous caustic soda can be to use, and to make sure they get rid of all residue and don't leave it on their armrests of their car and that sort of stuff to clean it up, because it can cause chemical burns and people don't know about it. Like, it deadens the nerves as it eats into your skin, and it's pretty nasty stuff.
Well, it doesn't deaden your nerves. Now, what it does do is it attacks the fats in your skin, which is why it's a good general purpose cleaner. But yes, you should always follow the instructions on the can. So when you spray it on, wipe it off with a wet cloth. And in any case, it actually reacts with the atmosphere anyway. So caustic soda, if you leave it out in the open, it will actually degrade anyway, because it reacts with the CO2 from the atmosphere. But yes, you follow the instructions on the can. So that, that kind of goes.
It's funny, because what makes it so useful and so powerful is also what makes it so very dangerous to us.
Yeah, well, it's not that dangerous. If you get it onto your skin, it will attack the fats in your skin. And that's why it feels slimy. It's turning the fats in your skin into soap. But that's all it will do.
Oh, there we
go. But that can cause chemical burns, you know, as the listener has said. So you always follow what the instructions on the can say.
On the say, yeah. We're completely out of time. Thanks very much for coming in today. Your book will be coming out in the not-too-distant future, and we'll get details on that, I guess, for the next time you're in.
Not sure when, yeah.
All right. Well, thanks very much for coming in.
No worries.
See you, mate.